I recently used an illustration in one of my lessons, and before I began the illustration, I said, I know that I have told you this before, but I'm going to use it again because it illustrates the point in such a good way. And when we got home, Diane said, I sure am glad that you know that you're repeating your illustrations. We have attended a couple of places in previous years where we had preachers who were getting on up in years, and they didn't know they were repeating their illustrations, but I do know it when I do that, at least so far. So just be aware of that. I'm going to use an illustration to begin tonight that I used just recently, and so most of you have heard it, but I think it illustrates the point so well that I'd like to make this evening. It was a Thanksgiving dinner, and one of the people at the table said that we need to be thankful. We all have things to be thankful for, and Grouchy old grandpa sitting there, and he said, I don't have anything to be thankful for. And a little bitty girl looked up at him and said, Grandpa, you can be thankful you ain't the turkey. So, there's always something to be thankful for. We're going to talk again this evening about Thanksgiving. We're glad you're here. We talked this morning about Thanksgiving, those of you that were here, but want to look at the idea of Thanksgiving again this evening from a totally different perspective. We do appreciate your presence. We do have visitors, and we're always glad to have you with us. As we begin this morning, we will look at there this evening. We'll talk about reasons to be thankful. In Colossians 3 and verse 17, Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. And so we need to be thankful. And I don't believe that we can ever overemphasize the importance of being thankful. One of the reasons is because in order to be thankful, we must recognize who we are. We need to be thankful then for the physical blessings that we enjoy. And we could begin to list various things, and we might go in many different directions, but we could spend several lessons just talking about the physical blessings that we have in this life. In order to be truly thankful, we must recognize and we must believe that everything that we have comes from God. One of the reasons that many people are not thankful is because they do not either recognize or they do not believe that God has given them what they have. I heard a man say one time, I have what I have because I work for it. And I don't have to give thanks to anybody. Well, if we have that attitude, then we're not going to be thankful to God or to anybody else. But we need to understand that everything that we have comes from God, and it is because He has given it to us. In the book of James, in chapter 4, in verses 13 through 16, James says there, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. You see, we need to recognize one of the things that always stands out in my mind when I think about David, the King David of Israel, the great king. And you think about all the wonderful things David did. And many of you know, I enjoy reading his Psalms, and I enjoy looking at his life. I enjoy studying. But one of the things that always stands out in my mind, and it's a tragedy, is how at the very end of his life, he ordered his officers to go out and to number the people. And it wasn't because he wanted to take a census so that they would just know how many were there. It was because he wanted to be able to boast of being the king over this many people. And God punished him for it. You see, if anybody recognized, if anybody knew that everything they had came from God, it was David. He started out as this little shepherd boy, and God had elevated him to the greatest king that had ever lived. He understood that, and yet even then he forgot it, and he failed to give thanks to God. And so we need to recognize that what we have comes from God. We need to be thankful then for our spiritual blessings. In Luke chapter 12, there in verses 22 through 34, Jesus said to His disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or your body as to what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, yet they have, and they have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If then you cannot even do a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, or do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek for His kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give it to charity, make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. The point that Jesus is making is that God knows what we need and God takes care of us. And so we have no reason to worry. We need to recognize then that God gives us everything that we have and therefore we are to be thankful. We need to be thankful then for our homes. We need to be thankful for the food that we eat, for our clothing, for our cars, and for our toys. You know, we live in a society of toys. Most of us have lots of them. We've outgrown that stage and we don't call it toys, but you know, we've got a boat or we've got a jet ski or we've got golf clubs or we've got something else, and we go through all these different things and we've got lots of toys, and the computer for most of us is just a toy, and we've got all these toys and we spend all this money on them, and yet we don't recognize many times that God is the one who gave us all of this, and we need to be thankful for it. We need to be grateful for what God has given us. There are so many things in our homes that make life more pleasant and make our jobs so much easier. You know, it hasn't been many years ago that people didn't have microwave ovens. How would you manage without a microwave? You know, how did you get along before you had a cell phone or an iPhone? Man, you get to do the internet wherever you are. How'd you get along without internet? How did you manage before they had air conditioning? How'd you manage? You know, I never forget one time we were at a family reunion and a few years ago, and one of the guys who was in his late teens at that time, and each one of them was talking about how old they were and how far back they went, and one of them said, "Well, I even remember before we had cable TV." Some of you remember before there was such a thing as TV. You see, we have all of these things that make our lives so much more pleasant and make our lives so much easier. You know, we get ready, you put your clothes in the washing machine and it washes it, and you take them out and you put them in the dryer and it dries them. And, you know, those things are luxuries. And yet we take them for granted. You know, used to when people cooked, they put wood in the stove and they would burn it and it would get hot and they would do it. You know, we got ready to come this morning. Diane says, "I need you to set the oven." I said, "Okay, tell me what to put it on, how long, and what time you want it to come on." And so when we got home, it was cooking. You see, we have so much for which to be thankful, and we need to be grateful to God for all of these things, these physical blessings that we enjoy. We need to be thankful for our health. I mentioned this morning about the fact that Diane and I had been for our physicals this past weekend. And we have good health, and we're thankful for that. It just, we need to be grateful for our health. Somebody says, "Well, you know, you don't understand all the problems I've got." That's true. And I'm going to tell you something. If there's anybody here that's not thankful for your health, then you come with us next Sunday up to the nursing home in Ardmore, and I promise you when you leave, you will be thankful for your health. You see, there are so many people that are so much worse off than we are. If you're capable of being here tonight, then you're much, much, much better than a lot of, in fact, most of the people that are there that are at that nursing home. And so we need to be thankful for our health. In Luke chapter 17, in verses 11 through 19, it came about while Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain city, there's 10 leprous men who stood at a distance. Now, these men had leprosy. They were not allowed to come in contact with anybody else. And so they were standing off at a distance. And they raised their voices saying, "Master, Jesus, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to his said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And it came about as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, leprosy was probably the most dreaded disease that anybody could have, because not only was it very often fatal, but even from the point in time when they got the leprosy until the point in time that they did in fact die, they had to be isolated and they could only be around other people who had leprosy. That meant they had to quit their job. That meant they had to go away from their homes. That meant they had to be ostracized from all of their friends. And these men had leprosy, and now they have been cleansed. And now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back and he was glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to Him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." And I wonder sometimes when I read this story if this is not about statistically correct for how many of us give thanks to God for the many blessings we have and especially for the health that we enjoy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, Paul said, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient to you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" Paul said, "Okay, God, if you're not going to heal me, I'm going to use this problem I have to make me a better person. I'm going to use this problem that I have to increase my faith. I'm going to use this problem that I have to help me to serve you better. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says there that he used the trials that he went through in order to comfort others who were facing similar trials. And if nothing else comes out of problems that we have in our health, we should be able to use our problems to encourage others who face similar problems. We need to be thankful for our physical blessings. We need to be thankful for our health. We need to be thankful for our families, for our friends, for our loved ones, for fellow Christians. I thank God regularly for every one of you. I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity of being a part of this church and a part of this church family. And we need to be grateful to God for the blessings that we enjoy as a part of this group. Jesus is our example in this. In John 13 and verse 1, there Jesus is in the upper room. It's the night that He has instituted the Lord's Supper and then later is betrayed. And it says, "Now before the feast of Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, that He should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end." You know what Jesus is doing here? And He goes on and tells us that He began to show them how much He loved them. We need to share this love with each other. And it is in this context that Jesus said, "This is how you will know My disciples, because they have love one for another." In John 11, verses 1 through 3, it says that a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped His feet with her hair. His brother Lazarus was sick. And the sisters therefore sent to Him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom You love is sick." You see, Jesus loved. And he was thankful for those that he had companionship with. The Apostle Paul is also an example for us in Acts chapter 20. I want you to look at this scene and you can picture it in your mind. The Apostle Paul has been preaching. He's on his way down to Jerusalem. And he doesn't have time to stop off at the city of Ephesus, but he wants to talk to the people there. And so he calls for the elders of the church, and they come over to where he is, and they meet him on his trip back to Jerusalem. And he talked to them for a while, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and he prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they were accompanying him to the ship. And so we need to be thankful for one another. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, says in Ephesians 1 in verses 15 and 16, "For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." This is the people that he was talking to that he was weeping greatly. You see, Paul loved these people and he was thankful for them. We need to be thankful for our families, our earthly families, our physical families. We need to be thankful for our friends. We need to be thankful for our fellow Christians. We need to show them and tell them that we are thankful. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 4, Paul said, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy." Paul constantly gave thanks for fellow Christians, for his friends, for those who meant so much to him. And we need to be thankful to God for those that mean so much to us. We need to be thankful for this country in which we live, for the freedoms we enjoy and the many opportunities it provides us. There's not a nation on the earth that has the freedoms and the opportunities that we have in this country. There's none that has been given many of the things that we enjoy and even take for granted. They did not come accidentally. It's because of the forethought and the foresight of our forefathers and for so many who have given their lives over the years. But more than anything else, it is because God has blessed this country and God has made it what it is, and God is responsible for this country being what it is. And we need to thank God because He is in control of everything. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, Paul says, "First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings, for all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." And so we need to be thankful for our government and what we enjoy and what we even take for granted. In Romans 13, in verses 1 through 7, Paul says, "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what's good, and you'll have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." So we have a responsibility to our government, but we need to be thankful for it. We need to pray for those that are in control. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22, the Pharisees went and counseled together how they might trap Jesus in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know you're truthful and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one, for you're not partial to any. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their malice and said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax." And they brought him a denarius. Now, they thought they had him trapped because if he said, "Yeah, it's good to pay your taxes," then the Jewish people would turn against him because they didn't want to pay Roman taxes. If he said, "No, you don't have to pay your taxes," then the Roman government would immediately arrest him because he was teaching people that they did not have to be in subjection to the Roman government. Jesus said, "Bring me one of your coins." He said, "Now whose likeness and inscription is on this coin?" They said, "Him, Caesar." He said, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And hearing this, they marveled, and leaving him, they went away. So we need to be thankful for our government. We need to be thankful for our spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We have this tremendous blessing in Christ because we are Christians, and we need to be thankful for the spiritual blessings. We need to be thankful for the forgiveness of our sins, for the redemption that God has bought us back from Satan and from sin and from the world through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1 and 7, he says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." We need to be thankful that we're called the children of God, that God is our Father. In the same chapter, Ephesians 1 and verses 5 through 6, he says, "He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved." And then we drop on down to verse 17, and he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowledge of Him. And so God is our Father. We are the children of God, and we need to be thankful that we are considered the children of God. We need to be thankful for God's grace. We would not have this forgiveness if it were not for God's grace. We would not be the children of God if it were not for God's grace. And so going back up to verse 6 of chapter 1 of Ephesians again, he says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved." Going over to the second chapter, verses 4 through 9, he says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." You see, we have this grace from God. And then He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one should boast." Paul says very plainly, we have what we have in Jesus Christ because God has given it to us in spite of the fact that we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. And we need to be tremendously thankful to God for that. We need to be thankful for the promise of the inheritance that we have. And that inheritance is heaven. In verses 9 through 11 of this chapter 1 of Ephesians, he says, "He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven, things upon the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will." You know, one of the interesting things about this is we look at our eternal life and what it's all about, and this inheritance that we have in God's grace. Go back and look at what He says here. He made known to us. It wasn't something that we figured out on our own. God made it known to us. He made known to us His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Christ. And then He says, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, according to His purpose, after the counsel of His will." In fact, there's about somewhere between, depending on which translation you have, somewhere between 9 and 14 times in the first chapter of the first section of the first chapter of the book of Ephesians that it either says in Him or according to His purpose or according to His will or whatever. You see, it's all about what God has done. We need to be thankful to God for that. We need to be thankful that He has given us His Holy Spirit to live in us. Verses 13 and 14 of this same chapter, He says, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. You see what we have here? God has given us His Holy Spirit. It is a pledge of our inheritance. We have been redeemed by God's doings, and now we are His possession, and the result of that is we praise Him and His glory. We give thanks to God for what He has done. We need to give thanks to God in all things, always. Tonight, are you in Jesus Christ? If you're not, then you need to come to Him in faith, confessing your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, turning away from your sin, being buried in baptism. And He has promised that if you will do that, that He will forgive you of all of your sins, everything that you've ever done. If you're here and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.